popping, everybody? Welcome back into the Expired Popcorn Podcast, where we talk about the fresh and the forgotten in both TV and film. I am Stone.
And I'm Zach.
We are your co-hosts, and today we are talking about a whole lot of blood, a whole lot of gore, and a horror film that came out this past weekend that TikTok doesn't like very much. Tell us about Zach. You have more experience with that. Why does TikTok not like Abigail that much?
Honestly, I don't know why they don't like it, but they claim that all these videos are having too much blood, guts, gore, violence, and stuff, and my video is currently going through an appeals process.
And I told Zach that a lot of my friends who I have group chats with, who are a lot of horror creators, have had the same issue as well with this film. And it's very weird that that's happening because of the reasons you said, because they have pictures that they use when they talk about other horror films that have a lot of that stuff in it, and it doesn't get appeal, and their videos actually do really well. So it's a weird thing that they have out for this film. Doesn't help out the whole, what's her name? Our lead actress.
Melissa Barrera.
Barrera, yeah. I forgot her first
name.
Maybe
that's the issue. It's her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe they're targeting her. Although TikTok's not really the platform that typically targets people for things like that, but...
Yeah, Congress. TikTok is a really good place where they don't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you should keep it around.
Yeah, Congress. They don't come after people except you guys.
This is just a fluke. This is just a fluke. This is a one-time thing that TikTok is doing right now when it comes to the Abigail movie. This is very unusual. It's usually, the site is usually a place of harmony and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Besides comments on almost every video, but...
Literally.
Lots of hate. But today we're talking about two movies involving Catherine Newton. It's going to be our connecting factor between our fresh and forgotten segments. We are talking about Abigail, as we mentioned, and then also the movie Freaky, which didn't get a whole lot of love because it came out in 2020.
During the pandemic.
Yeah, supposedly there was something big that went on that year, in the years that followed.
Something but that shut down the entire world.
Yeah, and I remember, let me check out the actual release date of this, because I think this was like right when the pandemic, where were you when the pandemic happened?
I was in college.
How did it go down?
Oh, so that's funny because, so I was sick the week, no, I wasn't, never mind. I had like a bunch of events, that's why I kept missing other events for college. So I was like super involved in college. I was the president of the like event planning board for the entire university. And one of our like committees had an event that the week of spring break, which was the week before, or had an event the week before spring break, which was 2 weeks before the pandemic and like everything shut down, like permanently. And so I had to miss my committee's event because I had another like obligation to get to. And apparently at my committee's event, everybody was, one person came and was like, everybody, oh my God, like, have you like heard about the coronavirus? Like it's going to shut everything down soon and blah, blah, blah. And it literally, apparently everybody was like, you're exaggerating, you're overreacting. Like it's not that bad. Like we promise nothing's going to get shut down. We're going to be fine. We're going to go on spring break and we're going to come right back. Everybody gaslit her. So then we went on spring break the following week. And then the like Thursday or Friday before spring break was supposed to end, we got an email from the university that spring break has been extended for a week.
Nice. There you go.
And we were like, woohoo, but oh no. And then the Thursday or Friday before spring break week two was supposed to end, we got an email from the university that was like, all classes have been moved to permanently remote for the remainder of the semester. Nobody will be returning to campus. If you are a student that currently lives on campus, you have 3 days to pack your stuff and leave. And if you are off campus currently and need to come get your stuff on campus, you have to schedule a time so that we can make sure there's only like 20 people in a building of 500 at a time.
That's wild.
Crazy.
Yeah, I can only imagine being on a campus and having all that happen. I was, because I wasn't in school. This is after I graduated college, right after I graduated college, because I graduated in 2019. And I actually took a trip, which is ballsy, amount of time to do that. but I flew on a plane to Florida from Michigan to visit my grandmother. And we were really scared that we were going to get stranded there and we weren't going to be able to come back to Michigan. And luckily, but it was funny. I remember watching basketball because March Madness was going on. I'm into college basketball a lot. By the way, congrats with NC State and how
Go
far they went
Pack.
this year.
Both
Didn't win, but you
teams,
got close.
men and women, made it to the Final Four.
Pretty impressive.
I
Pretty
really
impressive.
thought I was convinced that we were going to go all the way.
No.
Somehow.
UConn just destroys. UConn.
I know they do, but we also, like, UNC was the number one team and we beat them.
It's
And,
true.
like, we just kept being the underdog, so I was shocked. I was like, oh, are we just going to underdog our way all the way to the end?
Rarely happens. Rarely happens,
Rarely, but
unfortunately.
if it's any school, it's NC State because we do not do well in men's sports.
Yeah. We do well in men and women's this time. Look at that.
Women's sports, we always do well.
Not really.
Yeah.
But I was to say, yeah, I was watching college basketball and then also the news at the same time. Like we were flipping back and forth constantly. And luckily we were able to get home, thankfully. But yeah, this came out in November. Freaky, what we're talking about later, came out in November of 2020. So not necessarily March when everything, went to shit, but still, there was not a
Everything
lot
was
going
still
on in
shut
November of
down.
2020. Yeah, everything was still shut down forever.
Did it end up becoming a straight to streaming movie?
Probably not because let me see here. Because I know that it is a Universal picture, so it's done by Peacock. I don't
And
know when
Peacock, I don't think
Peacock would.
Peacock was out. It might have
Yeah,
been
when.
out.
That's what I'm looking at. When did Peacock come out? I don't know. All those. It's funny. It's so funny too. I remember that. Was it called Omegle, which was that streaming service that was supposed to be a phone?
Oh, no. You're thinking of Omegle was the like chat room where you like get on camera with strangers. What was it freaking
Quibi,
called?
Quibi,
Quibi, that's what it
Quibi.
was.
Yeah.
Oh, I have so many thoughts about Quibi.
Well, for another time, maybe.
For another time. But my like biggest thought is TikTok should have bought Quibi and gotten into the TV streaming business.
Yeah, that would have been good. Maybe they wouldn't have been banned if that was the case.
Maybe
Who
not.
knows? Maybe our people of our government would have been really obsessed with the Quibi shows, and they would have
Maybe.
been like, "We need to stick around."
Or they could have had like official news channels and shit.
That's so weird. Like just filming your entire movie or TV show
In
and
vertical
make sure
video.
that, yeah, make sure it's focused in the center
But
always.
that was the thing about Quibi is
It's always vertical.
it wasn't always vertical. You could
Okay.
turn both ways
But
and
that's the
watch.
thing, though. But if it was vertical, right? Did it all the shows that you could do horizontal, but if you do vertical, it also works? Because I think that's the gimmick of it,
All the
right?
shows, yeah, like you could watch the show in vertical video, but if you wanted to see everything, you could turn it and watch
I
the show
just.
in horizontal. But it was like all the important stuff was made sure to be
Vertical.
vertical.
See, that's just a dumb idea to me because, okay, the thing is you're watching it on the go, right? Oh, cool. You got this in your hand. Why can't, when you're on the go, just turn your phone and you can watch Netflix shows or whatever other
I
streaming
don't
service?
know. But it's the same thing about TikTok. Like, why is everybody against TikTok introducing horizontal video and longer form content?
Yeah, you can just turn it. I don't understand. People don't make sense. But do you think, let me think of Abigail. Could Abigail have been a vertical video on Quibi? Probably not.
Probably not, because I don't think you could have seen
No,
her chasing everyone around the house.
she's flying, which, yes, Abigail, for everyone, we're going to talk full spoilers of Abigail. I told Zach beforehand how I thought it would be cool to discuss with him and anybody listening my viewing experience when it came to Abigail. It was my first ever media screening, so not necessarily a press screening, and I wouldn't expect myself to get a press screening, but I went on a train all the way to New York City to see Abigail one day early. One day. But I'm a sucker for like posters and maybe any memorabilia I can get. So I was like, okay,
Yeah,
I'm
you
going to
still gotta
just
build your wall.
my poster, Well, speaking of which, I tried to put posters back here and I used sticky tack and all of them came down.
They all
So
fell.
yeah, they also peeled some of the wallpaper off.
Oh.
So that'll be good for my landlord, I guess. Anyways, so Abigail, New York City, biggest movie theater in New York City. This is gonna be sweet. No, not really. They gave me one of those like carnival admit like raffle tickets as my ticket, so didn't keep that, and no posters. And there's like
Well, that's
kids in there. I
disappointing.
was
No
like,
posters.
yeah, there's kids in there, and I'm like, are they just being nice to me then? I thought this was gonna be a little bit cooler than it
Little
was,
more
but I mean, I could see
formal.
it. Yeah, I didn't have to dress up, which was cool. I did have to dress up for Rebel Moon Part 2, which makes sense. That was the world premiere of it. But then there was huge influencers there who were not dressed up, so I don't
They
understand.
never
But
dress up.
it's whatever. They're wearing hoodies. At least I was looking nice. Maybe Netflix has a picture of me out there somewhere that I'm looking dapper. So,
Maybe.
but Abigail, full spoilers. What were your thoughts about Abigail? I know we've kind of shared them a little bit with each other, but what did you get out of the film? What were you thinking as you left the theater?
I thought it was entertaining enough. I felt like the main attraction, and like clearly she was the main attraction, aside from Abigail, have like of course she's the main attraction, that's her name. Was Melissa Barrera. Like, it really was a movie made for Melissa Barrera, basically.
How interesting is that? Because I feel like she filmed this after everything that happened. And even in Scream 6, she is one of the main characters, but you also have Jenna Ortega. So she's not the sole main character. But here, even more than Abigail, like she is the sole main character of this film.
I thought she did do a good job proving that she is ready to be a Scream queen, even without
Yes.
being in Scream. And then I oh the ending, the random cameo from Matthew Good, I thought that was such a waste.
What is Matthew Good off of? Like, what has he been? I'm not really sure who he
He
is.
was in the show The Offer, I think is what it's called.
Okay, that's the one about the Godfather, I believe.
And
Paramount
then
one.
he's like a big British actor.
Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, I'm glad we said full spoilers because you do say it's so funny too because, yes, Dracula is shown at the end of this film, and you're like, I didn't freak out. I was just like, I guess I would have. When he like he's because you don't see his face at the very beginning. I was like, "Ooh, who's this
I
gonna
know. I
be?
was
I'm ready."
expecting, like, the whole time, I was like, okay, so
Timothée
we're gonna see
Chalamet.
him. Like, they're gonna kill Abigail at some point, and he's gonna come wreak havoc. And then you get halfway through the movie, and Abigail's like, yeah, my dad doesn't love me.
Yeah, that was an interesting turn of events. But yeah, I thought it was gonna be a huge actor, and I was just like, "Who's that?" I guess that's Dracula.
Yeah. What do they call him in the movie? What was his name?
Father.
No, like
Oh, I got
the
you.
his like
Yes. So,
businessman name.
the plot of this movie is that all of this these criminals kidnap this little girl, and they are holding her hostage in an attempt to rid her father of some money, who is a very powerful crime person. And Giancarlo Esposito is the one that sets all this up. And basically, he's like, hey, chill in this house for an hour, or an hour, for a day. And at the end of it, you will get all these funds. And we come to find out that, Abigail is in fact a vampire, which all of us knew from the trailers. But yeah, her father has a crime boss name. Did you figure it out?
Let me look it
Her
up.
father being Dracula. Because this movie was going to be named Dracula's Daughter.
I'm
But I
glad
think
they
they
didn't
changed the
name
mind.
that.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it would have done better at the box office. The
That's
thing is
just like
that's
too on the
interesting.
nose.
Well, the thing that's interesting is so this comes from the directors of Ready or Not. Have you watched Ready or Not? Yeah, Ready or
It
Not, and
felt
then
very
Scream
Ready or
Six.
Not.
Yeah, Scream Six and Scream Five. So these are pretty acclaimed, pretty not acclaimed, but pretty solid duo here.
What the hell is this
In
movie?
Matt Bettinelli, Open, and Tyler Gillett. But was Abigail supposed to be revealed as Dracula's daughter in the vamp in the tra in the in the trailer? Was that planned? I ask because I want to hear your opinion on this, because we take some time to get the old teeth to come out in the film. It's kind of a
Yeah,
drag there at the
it
beginning.
is. I feel like they would have been better had they just like had her play them for once and then get into her showing her teeth.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation because I think that the movie works if you go into this not knowing that she's Dracula's daughter. And then when that happens, you're like, holy shit. Because then you're like, okay, these criminals are kidnapping this little girl. Something's going to go wrong. That's interesting, right? We'll see that what happens. But that's not really a selling point marketing-wise. People want to go because they want to know that Abigail is a vampire and that she's going to rip all these people to shreds. But that when you're not faced with that at the very beginning of the film, you're just waiting.
Yeah, I feel like there's enough footage too that for like the marketing of it, they easily could have not shown Abigail as the vampire. And just shown her like the scene where Angus Cloud is being dragged. Like, you never see Abigail. Or
that's true, yeah.
When Catherine Newton is with Peter is his name. And Abigail starts controlling her. You never see Abigail. Like, there, I think there was plenty of footage where, like, it could have been hinted at that somebody there was the vampire.
I can't remember. Was in the trailer, because they had that one scene where I think she whispers to Frank. I think she's talking about her daughter or her father, but she's like, you guys are all going to die. I'm really sorry about what's going to happen to you. Was that in the trailer?
She's talking to, and she's talking to Melissa Barrera.
Yeah.
And that's when, that's when she like runs back to the rest of the group and is like, I don't scare easily. And when I do scare, I trust my gut and we should all trust me and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So I agree. There was somewhat of a way to get around, I think, because it didn't open that big. It only opened with $10 million, which is sad to see, because I think it's a solid film. But I think it could open with $10 million and not revealed her being a vampire, possibly.
Maybe, and then had something. A surge. I say you are.
I guess not marketing for this film.
Yeah, but I feel like had they gone the route of like not trying their best not to reveal that she's Dracula's daughter in the marketing, it would have gotten like a big surge in like
word of mouth.
And then box off like opening weekend, it only has 10 million, but then second and third weekend, it gets another 20 each or something.
Yeah. So hopefully it's not going to have that belt.
No.
Good of staying power.
It'll probably get another like much. It'll probably get another like 10 to 20 million max.
It'll probably cap off at like 20 million, I would say, which is sad. Hopefully it's a big hit on streaming. But yeah, I thought
It has streaming.
Beginning's a little bit of a slug to get through. You got to find out something about all these criminals and their backstory.
And that dragged on a lot.
Yeah, Melissa Barrera is really good at reading them. She goes, oh, this is what you are, because like, I'm a mind reader or whatever. I know people. This is what you are. 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 It just lasted too long.
It lasted too long, and it was stupid to even do that. Like, I get why they did that, because like, it comes in later on that she's good at reading people, and like, that kind of saves her life. But it was dumb to do that, because right before they're like talking about how they can't know each other, and then they're like, well, now either we all have to get out or none of us get out. And like, that's the driving factor for them staying, basically.
Yeah, because they all know each other now.
Yeah, because they're like, we all know each other. Like, we could all rat on each other, basically.
Yeah, that's an interesting predicament. And I didn't like how they were trying to, with that character named Rickles. And I feel like it was a little bit unnecessary to have like some romantic tension between him and Melissa Barrera at the beginning. I don't know why.
Because so dumb. He was such a wasted character too. Like,
yes, out of everyone, he is definitely the most wasted character, which is interesting because he was kind of at a point somewhat of ish a love interest with her.
He was a love interest, and also felt like he was going to be kind of another lead in the movie, and then they just did away with him.
Well, so that could be a good misdirect, but he wasn't interesting enough for that misdirect to catch you off guard.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay.
It like the feeling I got with his character were the same feelings I got with, I think his name's Josh Segarra from Scream 6, the love interest in Scream 6. Like the whole movie in Scream 6, I was expecting him to get killed at some point.
He never dies.
And then he never dies. But then in this one, I was like, oh, so he's probably gonna like make it like super far in the movie and then die. And then he just gets axed in the first act.
Are you talking? You're talking about like because you have like the main four. Wait, hold on. I'm trying to look at the Scream movies because you have Mason Gooding.
Yeah, not Mason Gooding. He always almost dies, but never does.
That guy does not. It's insane. I guess that's like the thing.
That's with his thing. Scream. Him and his yeah. With
Scream, you like never die kind of a thing. I mean, that's why what Hayden Panettiere came up in Scream 6, which I hate that because I feel like it makes the old films not have any stake. But if Matthew Lillard comes back for the next one, I'll be okay with that.
He's dead.
Which, well, no. So supposedly it was Hayden Panettiere too.
I don't think she was.
That's obviously not because they retconned it. They said actually no, she didn't die. So yeah, supposedly Matthew Lillard is dead, but there was also this footage. But then also, are we gonna go watch Scream 7 because of Melissa Pereira?
No, I'm not watching any more Scream movies.
There it is. So it's so funny because I feel like there's like 50-50 people. Where I feel like people were on the side of, yeah, I'm not going to go watch it because of that situation. But then as more news came out, they can't help but be excited for it. I'm like, did you forget what happened kind of thing?
Yeah, so. I just, even my best, like one of my best friends who's like the biggest Wes Craven and Scream fan, like Scream is her favorite movie franchise of all time. She's like, I'm not watching Scream 7.
And it's so funny too, because they didn't pay Neve Campbell, which is why she didn't come back. But now they're like, oopsies. And they're like, let's pay a lot. And
yeah, they're we got our two leads of left. So I guess now we do have the budget to pay you.
Yeah, I'm guessing the other cast is going to come back, though. The other two leads of the movies besides Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barrera.
I don't think like so.
The core four, you don't think they're going to come back either?
I think they're done. Mason Gooding's like a really big activist, actually. Like he... Yeah, and then I don't know much about the girl that plays his twin sister, but I'm guessing if Mason Gooding's not coming back, she's also not coming back. Not like it's her choice whether or not it's her choice doesn't really matter. Like you can't bring her back and not Mason Gooding.
Right. That makes sense. I would say though, I don't think the directors are coming back either. I believe they've left the project as well.
Yeah, the original director. Yeah, the original director of 5 and 6. Was gonna keep going with 7, and then I think what ended up happening was like he was trying to fight for them to, like, fight for Paramount or whatever Spyglass
to reverse their decision.
He was trying to fight Spyglass on reversing their decision, and that was the creative difference that made them break away.
Yeah, bummer though because they really do have a signature style. I was watching clips of Ready or Not, which I need to revisit that movie because I remember really enjoying that film.
And they're coming out with a second one now.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit more than Abigail, to be honest.
I didn't watch it in theaters. I think it was another movie that I watched on a plane. And I really enjoyed it. It was a really good movie.
Cute story. When me and my wife, we started talking, we would watch films over Zoom call. Mm-hmm. And we would just sit there and watch a movie together. And that was one of the movies that we watched. Was Ready or Not. I can't remember. I also think we watched maybe The Cabin in the Woods as well.
I'm sitting here thinking, I know what The Cabin in the Woods is, but I was sitting here thinking...
Such a good movie.
I was sitting here thinking of the Jonathan Groff movie with Dave Bautista.
Oh, The Cabin in the Woods, yeah. But yeah, very similar. I didn't particularly love that movie, but I feel like there's a lot of people who are very much M. Night Shyamalan worshippers.
It was not a good movie.
I didn't enjoy it, but I'll stay away from that. I might rewatch all of his films just to prepare for his new one, which sounds interesting. It looks interesting.
I just don't trust anything he puts out anymore.
Right, but I give him credit though because he does finance all of his films, so he makes what he wants to. And
good for him.
They're original, so yeah. It's kind of Knock at the Cabin was based off a novel, but this new one's original. But the thing was, how did you like the second half of Abigail? Did it get better? The more I wrote in my Letterboxd review, the more you see Abigail, the better this movie is. The problem is, you don't see her for 45 minutes.
Yeah. The more that Abigail was involved, the more I liked the movie. Because like the minute it's revealed that she's a vampire, the movie just takes off.
Yes.
Like...
Oh my god, the way she chases these people down is so funny. she just hits like those little poses, like, and then she like keeps going. It's so funny.
Her little ballerina ass really running good. Around.
It's really just, good. I gotta.
Yeah. And the way she, I also really like the way that she uses her. Her ballet skills to like jump from place to place, like when she's fighting.
That's creative. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
The actress as well, Alicia Weir, I believe is her name, the young actress. She's only 14 years old. Incredible range, because I have not watched Matilda the musical, which I think she's the lead in that
film. Yeah, she's Matilda.
What a wild range to do that and then this.
And pretty much like back-to-back years too.
Yeah, that one came out 2022 and this one came out 2024. I wonder if she's got anything else on the docket, but
I'm sure she's gonna.
She's going to for sure. There's this one scene that what in the world? I just watched a movie. What the heck? Oh, is she the daughter? So I watched this movie. I went to AMC Lincoln Center and I had some time to kill. And I randomly went to a movie, did not watch a trailer about it, did not know anything about it. Just went and watched it because I had some time to kill. And she's in that movie.
What movie?
It's called Wicked Little Liars.
Oh, I was going to go see that with my boyfriend, but I ended up not. Yeah. And
it's fine. It's like a fun.
He really liked British it. Comedy. Yeah. He loves British comedy, though. He in another life, he would have been British.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with Olivia Colman. I love Olivia Colman.
That's why so he that went to it see fun. It. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Olivia Colman. She's like got so much spunk about her, but also she seems like the nicest person in the entire world.
I love the press that she does. Have you seen the pigeon?
She's meme? Like talking. No.
You haven't seen her act like a pigeon?
Oh, I think I have actually. Yeah.
Where she's like, "You want to see my impression of a pigeon?" And then she just like keels over, basically.
Would she have made Abigail better? Probably.
Probably, definitely. But I don't know how she would have fit in Abigail.
She's Dracula.
Honestly, it would have been even funnier. It would have been even funnier if she was like a nanny.
Abigail's
nanny or something.
Say so you cannot add Olivia Colman in something and her make it. It only elevates the material, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But Alicia Weir, she does have that one scene where I thought like acting, like this is her acting scene. This is not her doing those poses. This is not her yelling into the camera with her vampire teeth. It's the one where she's in the jail cell and she's talking to them. She has so much attitude.
She does.
She's very
convincing. Very
good performance.
She's very menacing there.
Very good line reading. It's like, hey, y'all, I really hate y'all and you're doomed and I know it and you don't know it, and that's all being portrayed through a 14-year-old girl very effectively. But what do you think about Dan Stevens, his like resurgence that he's having? So we actually missed this episode. We both watched Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah.
And then Dan Stevens is in this, and then he's also going to be in Cuckoo, which I don't know if you know about Cuckoo with Hunter Schafer.
He's having a resurgence.
Yeah, I think he's really solid. He's really good in whatever he is.
Yeah. I mean, I think the worst thing that he did was Beauty and the Beast.
How so? His performance of that movie?
No, when he turned into Adam. He was the Beast, he was great. They didn't do him any favors when they made him human.
The movie's pretty solid.
No, that movie is solid. No, it's not a bad movie at all. Everyone was expecting the like scene of Beast turning back into human to be this like beautiful, beautiful man, and they just made him ugly. Like Dan Stevens is not ugly.
Yeah.
And they made him ugly when he turned in, when he went from Beast to human.
I'm trying to think. Melissa Barrera, even though she had tons of blood on her, she was never ugly.
Nope.
No, she's very good at both looking very sad, which she has a very tragic backstory in this that allows for that, but also like badass at the same time, which is very much appropriate for the script that is written here in her character. I will say something that bugged me though. I don't know if you saw my video about this, but she's a medic. That is her ordeal. And there's this one scene where Dan Stevens' character, is stabbed in the leg with some spike by Abigail.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Yeah, she removes the spike from his leg, and bandages it up somehow, and that's not in a medical sense what you would do in that situation. You would leave it in place, so that kind of bugged me a little bit, but it's whatever. You're not supposed to think in this horror movie, but I couldn't help but think.
Well, they didn't have time to leave the thing in and have him wander around and, like, he would have made a lot of noise had he had it in and had to maneuver from hallway to hallway. So, I mean, it probably should have killed him if they, when they yanked it out, but.
To be fair, in those situations, there's never, well, in the real world, there's never vampires chasing after you. So,
exactly.
So we don't know. We don't know if that's what you should do in that situation. Needed
the,
maybe
they needed the stake also.
Yeah. There you go. Maybe they didn't have
weapons to waste.
Yeah. Maybe if they were, those situations were real, doctors would be like, you know what? You can remove it in that situation.
He's probably dead anyway. If this doesn't kill him, the vampire will.
Yeah. So what doesn't hurt to try, kind of thing.
Exactly.
I would say probably the highest paid actor in this film was Giancarlo Esposito. And I was sad that he wasn't in it as much. He's barely in this movie.
He is barely in it. And he was kind of wasted. Like, I thought.
Well, he would probably be the highest paid actor. So you can only have him, you know. Which is insane, because I feel like he's a very... He's never the lead in anything. He's always just, like, added on.
He's always a supporting character of something.
Yeah.
Well, he was the lead in that one Netflix movie that they... Or show that they did.
Oh, the one out of order.
Yeah, you can watch it in any order. I didn't watch it.
What an interesting concept. He's going to be in Maxine later this year, too.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a little bit disappointing that he wasn't in the film too much. But yeah, I thought it was solid. I liked when, so when everyone gets, oh, so we're going to speak about Catherine Newton. I think Catherine Newton is a very fascinating actress because she doesn't give a shit like what she does. Like, she's, nothing is above her.
No, she just does whatever she wants to have fun.
Yeah, so there's like a scene where she, Abigail's controlling her and, you know, Alicia Weir, Abigail is a ballerina, but she's dancing, and then Catherine Newton's character Sammy also dances. When that started, I was like, oh, I hope this is going where I think it's going to go, and it did, and I was like, that's a very good, very creative, very cool that Catherine Newton did that.
Yeah.
I really wish that happened. That would have been funny even with more characters. Like, if she got control of more characters.
Yeah, I wish that it would have happened with, like, Dan Stevens or someone, like, yeah. Or even Peter. Like, I think it would have been so funny if Abigail had gotten both Peter and Catherine Newton and controlled them at the same time or something.
Yeah.
Because then you would have watched. Yeah. You would have, like, it makes sense for Catherine Newton to be acting that way because she's also, like, a petite girl. So, like, it's not, like, out of the realm that...
Yeah.
Abigail, a 14-year-old, is controlling Catherine Newton, who's like probably like 22 in this movie or 23. But then you have Peter, who's like a 40-year-old, like giant. What was he from Quebec? This giant Frenchman.
That guy was pretty funny. Kevin Durant.
Would have been funny to watch him run around doing ballet, chasing after everybody.
Yeah. See, yeah, that. I think it was a missed opportunity. Even though I liked Catherine Newton in that, I thought, yeah, that's just an easy decision to enhance your comedy that you have in the film. I do totally agree with that. Speaking... I found out recently that, I was going to say, the Kevin Durand is the movie that we might cover on this podcast. I hope hopefully we cover it. But he is actually the lead bad ape in the new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie.
Interesting.
Have you seen the trailer for that?
Yes.
So he's the one who goes, "What a wonderful day!" That's him.
Okay. Yeah, I need to watch the other two. I've seen the first Planet of the Apes of, like, the newer trilogy.
You gotta rewatch all of them. You can't just go off memory. I guess you can do your recap videos.
I'm not going to watch the ones from, like, the 60s, 70s, or however old. But I've seen the James Franco one. I need to watch the other two.
The two are better. That you were way better.
That's what I've heard. I really liked the first one, but I watched it when I was in, like, high school, and then I just never went back and watched the other two after they came out.
It's insane because I think the director has only directed four movies, if I'm not mistaken. Every movie that he's directed has been really popular. I wouldn't say great, because I think I would classify Cloverfield as a great movie, but I think, yeah, all he's really... Oh, no. He did a movie called Let Me In, which is a horror movie. I forgot about this one. Oh, but yeah, Cloverfield, Cloverfield, the Apes movies, and he also did a movie in the 1996 that has David Schwimmer in it called The Pallbearer. Interesting. Maybe I should check that out beforehand. But yeah, Abigail. So
we're getting a lot of sidetracks this episode.
When everyone dies, they explode. And I forgot that this happened, but I was checking out clips of Ready or Not. And something very similar happened in Ready or Not, where someone was just there and they just...
That was so funny.
When everyone gets covered in blood, it's a good time.
It is. And I feel like that's such a signature thing for those directors.
Yeah.
Because in Scream, they're always covered in blood. Even though they're just getting stabbed, like somehow they end up absolutely drenched in blood. But then in Ready or Not and in this, people just explode.
Very fun.
It is. It's shocking.
I said I saw this trend on Twitter where there was just, what's your favorite scene where someone's just covered in blood? Because of Abigail. Like, that started like a whole conversation. But yeah, everyone's covered in blood. And then the ending's fun. I mean, there's a lot of Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, and Alicia Weir, which are, you know, the best part. Those three are the best part of this movie, and it's just them trying to all kill each other. And that's an enjoyable time.
Yeah. And then there's a nice little moment between Abigail and Joey, is Melissa Barrera's character's name, doing their pinky swear and being like, okay, we'll kill Dan Stevens together and go our separate ways.
It takes some time, though. It's a lot of stakes.
It is. Abigail almost dies twice.
I think the transition of... That's the thing. Maybe... At the beginning of the film, rather than, you know, getting backstory on every single other person in the gang, I think maybe we should have had more focus on Dan Stevens, because he's not only the best person in the film, besides Melissa Barrera and Abigail, but the fact that his turn would have been a lot more dramatic, in a sense, because all that happened really quick. Because Giancarlo Esposito is like, hey, me and you, we can betray him. And then right afterwards, Dan Stevens is like, no, I'm going to betray you, and then I'm going to betray that. And I was like, okay.
With that scene, I really thought he was about to betray Giancarlo Esposito and then, like, go to Melissa Barrera and be like, okay, let's go kill this little bitch. That's what I thought was about to happen.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to, like, put out a hand. Like, I thought she was going to be scared and, like, be ready to stab him. And he was going to put out a hand and be like, let's go kill her. And then it was the reverse.
Honestly, me too. I like the angle that they took, though.
I do, too.
Abigail.
Yeah.
There could be a sequel.
There's room for a sequel.
Nobody freaked out when Dracula went on screen, but I was in a pretty packed theater, though, because it was the media, the media viewing. Like I said, I don't know if they were trying to have a big, you know, when Dracula came on at the very end, but there was crickets.
I think it would have been bigger, or it probably is a bigger, like, gasp moment in England. With people who know who Matthew Good is. One thing that I wish they would have done, and I think this would have, like, shaved down the beginning a lot more, was instead of doing the whole, like, Melissa Barrera reading each of the characters, being like, this is who you are, had Abigail, during her little monologue in the cage, explaining why she brought them all here, explain how they're all connected. I think it would have been better if each of the characters was connected more than just being her father's enemy. If they all were somehow on, like, the same mission without even knowing that they were on the same mission originally, like when Abigail went and killed the like three henchmen or whatever that were captured by the cops or something like that, like had like a more definitive connection between the six of them. Instead of just being like, oh, you stole from my dad and you were the guy that got these henchmen captured and you did this to him, like random things.
What do you think of, I was just thinking about it when you described this. What do you think of the idea of, I think it's maybe, I don't know, rather than her describing all the characters to us, we get little hints of who they are throughout the film. Mm-hmm. And then when the Abigail thing happens, then we finally know who everyone is. But in the build up to that, rather than making them mortal enemies, you can maybe have some, because we thought the actual relationship that they were trying to go for was wasted. You could have maybe something between Melissa Barrera and Dan Stevens. Now, I know there is somewhat of an age gap there, but maybe have something between them and make them not enemies and actually likable towards each other. And then when she reveals what Dan Stevens did and what she did to Abigail's father, still have somewhat a connection there and build something up. And then you find, because she really doesn't know Dan Stevens because this is the first time they've been together. Then when that turn happens and he's like, no, fuck y'all, I'm gonna kill you all,
It's even more shocking.
that is way more shocking. I think
Yeah.
that would be a little bit better.
I think that, like, it's just like little decisions like that that would have taken this movie from being just like a good, fun watch to being like a very well thought out movie that is also still a fun watch.
And that also could have helped that 40-minute lag too, because like you said,
Yeah.
it's just introduction after introduction. And Dan Stevens and Melissa Barrera are the best actors in this film, obviously, because they're at the top of the roll call, I guess. But maybe writing better dialogue for them and just having them interact a lot with each other at the beginning would have helped us, not anticipate Abigail more. Like we would have
Yeah.
been comfortable not seeing Abigail for a long time.
Yeah, and I feel like it would have been easy to just give like 5 more minutes to Abigail's monologue of like her explaining all of that instead of spending 15 minutes of Melissa Barrera's character like walking everyone through and like hesitating on whether or not to like share this info with people and stuff like that at the beginning, and like really shave down that beginning part that just like drags on until we get to the reveal that Abigail is the vampire.
Here's the thing. Yeah, it's interesting that we're trying to break down this filmmaking. It really is. Because you said make it 5 minutes longer, but I don't like exposition. So I'm thinking of a way that the key to exposition is you have to make sure something is going on when the exposition is happening.
Yeah, I
If
mean,
it's
like
just.
it could have been like a voiceover or like even just like add in the scene of like a flashback to how they're all connected. Like let us see the like henchmen scene where they're all captured type of thing.
Well, I was honestly thinking, I guess the film opens this way, so maybe it would have been oversaturated with it, but maybe she has this thing where she can think better when she's listening to music, and somehow they play music for her, and then as she's explaining, everything about these characters, she's dancing in the cell while she does it. I think maybe that could have
Yeah,
been,
even that, that'd
some
be more cost
routine.
effective.
Yeah, something very interesting that could have, she's doing exposition, so we're listening to her, but we're also fascinated with what she's doing at the same time.
Lean into her being the ballerina. Let her tell the
The
story
best part of this
through
movie.
dance
That's the best part of this
also.
movie. But yeah, so what did you, out of 5 stars, what do you think you're giving this?
I gave it a 3. Like, it was good. It just could have been
Yeah.
better.
I might give it a 3 too. I had it at a 3.5. I don't know. I change my ratings a lot, like the more I think about a film. But yeah, maybe after talking on this podcast, I would go down to a 3. But I have it as a 3, 3.5 right now.
I thought about giving it the half star.
When's the last time you? Random question. So I looked up Kevin Durant and what his filmography was, and he was in the film I Am Number 4, which I just saw that. I glanced at that. I just watched the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and the lead actor of I Am Number 4 is in that movie.
Yeah, I didn't where.
Where is he?
I didn't see him.
Like in the trailers?
I literally can't remember who he played.
Oh, wait, did you didn't watch the movie?
No, I have. I saw it early. I saw
Oh.
it a week ago.
Oh, you it plays the dude that they pick up, their first mission. That's him.
Forgot.
No, I didn't like that movie that much. I gave it
I
a two and a
saw,
half.
I like as I was leaving the theater after I saw the movie, I saw the name Alex Pettifer on the like big billboard poster or like big cardboard thing, and I was like, where was he?
Oh, I forgot
It
he was
didn't
in Magic. I forgot he's in
register.
Magic Mike too.
Yeah, it didn't
Because like
register to
he,
me that the guy that
yeah,
they're trying to save at the beginning is Alex Pettifer. I thought it was
a
somebody
different movie.
completely different. I'm usually
Surprise,
really good with
surprising.
actors' faces and names too.
Well, not today. Not
Not
a
in
week
that
ago, even.
movie. It just didn't register to me because I guess I was too focused on the fact that it was like Henry Golding, Henry Cavill, who else the like Alan Richmond Richardson. Like, there are a
Yeah,
lot
I
of
could
like
go into
other
the
big
movie.
name people.
I didn't. That movie was wasted potential, in my opinion, because we missed the
Yeah,
time. But Henry
well,
Cavill is lead of that movie, and nothing. And he's not interesting. Everyone else is
he's the
interesting.
lead of the movie, and his character is the least
Does
lead-like
nothing.
character of like almost any movie. I
I
was
saw.
way more focused on Alan Ritchson's character.
Yes, I saw someone say that, and he's better at comedy too. Alan Ritchson, he looks very funny. I saw someone say, "Oh, you know, Henry Cavill's kind of crazy in this. He sticks his tongue out and he wears people's jackets." Like, okay, that happens within 1 minute of each other, and then there's nothing else.
Yeah, Henry Cavill is funnier in The Witcher than he was in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't. I just think, yeah, a waste, bunch of waste potential. Anyways,
It
so you couldn't recognize that one person's face on screen. Let me ask you this: whenever you see Catherine Newton, can you recognize her?
was.
Okay, just making sure.
Always.
Because I think she's definitely an up-and-coming actress. She's having a pretty solid year with this and Lisa Frankenstein. Modern-day scream queen, like Melissa Ferrera.
She's becoming one, yeah. I have loved Catherine Newton since I watched The Society in 2019, and I'll never forgive Netflix for canceling that show.
I say, what is she? She's in Freaky. She's in three billboards outside of, I think Missouri. Interesting.
What was her
I didn't know
first
that.
project?
Well, I wouldn't even know. You would have to do a quick IMDb
Like,
search for that.
what was her
Maybe
first, like,
Paranormal Activity 4. She was in that
What
on
was her
Pope.
first like big name project?
But yeah, Catherine Newton, she's having a great year. Obviously, a lot of people saw her for the first time in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, but then she was also in Detective Pikachu, pretty big role in that as well. I never saw that film. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh yeah, I loved Detective Pikachu. I was so scared that it was gonna be bad.
Oh, I'm glad it was good.
And I went in with like such low expectations because I'm like the biggest Pokemon fan ever.
When you Being Pokemon fan, I forgot you are a huge fan. When you ever envisioned Pikachu talking, was it always Ryan Reynolds?
No. But
Yeah.
also like the o there's only one talking Pokemon in Pokemon that like actively talks, and
And
it's
it's Pikachu.
Meowth. No, it's Meowth.
Oh, you're right. I guess I'm thinking of Pikachu. Well, I guess you're a bigger Pokemon. Does every Pokemon just say their name?
Yes. Well, okay.
Okay.
Yes and no. Like most
Isn't there one
do.
scene,
There's
like one
a
random
few
scene
that
where
like
Pikachu
kind of just
talks?
growl. Yeah, there is one scene in a movie. Where Pikachu randomly talks to Ash, but it's because Ash
See, I
is like
told you.
hallucinating.
Okay.
He's literally like dying, and so
And he
Pikachu is
doesn't.
basically like, "No, don't die."
And he doesn't sound like Ryan Reynolds.
No. I don't know what, I don't remember what he sounded like. Her first big, or Catherine Newton's first big thing was where I guess where she was kind of the lead. Was Blockers, I think. Not that she was like the lead, but she was more of a lead. And then it was Detective Pikachu, and then The Society, and then Big Little Lies.
Yeah, so I think especially after this year, I can see big, huge things on our horizon. Unfortunately, COVID impacted one of the movies where she was like the sole lead, which was Freaky, with Vince Vaughn, which Vince Vaughn is not really in a whole lot of movies
Not
anymore.
anymore, yeah.
I'm trying to think, maybe the most recent film that he's on. I don't even know.
I
Funny,
couldn't
my
have
wife's.
told you anything that he was in before, like
Before even
for
this, yeah. Oh, he's
the
going to be. It looks
last
like he's going
like
to be in
5 years before Freaky.
It looks like he's going to be in that Vince or that John Krasinski If film that's coming
Oh,
out next
is he?
month. Yeah, he's like one of the voice. I mean, there's like a million people in that film. So,
Oh, there's
let's hear Bradley
Dodgeball
Cooper.
too.
Bradley Cooper. Right, let's hear Blake Lively, George Clooney, Bradley Cooper, Awkwafina, of course. Maya Rudolph, Sam Rockwell, Vince Vaughn, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Steve Carell, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, yeah, tons of people.
Yeah, he's not in a lot of stuff anymore. He is mostly just a producer.
Interesting. I would say he's probably we watched Freaky as our forgotten portion of the podcast, and Catherine Newton is solid. She's really good. So that the story is them Freaky Friday. So Catherine Newton switches bodies with a serial killer because of a cursed knife. And so you have Vince Vaughn playing, or Catherine Newton playing Vince Vaughn, a killer, and you have Vince Vaughn playing
a teenage girl.
Yeah, Catherine Newton. And this is a really solid movie. I really enjoyed it. Did you revisit it before we watched, or before we're talking about it now, or you just remember
when you watched it the first time? Watched it the first time, and I just remember pretty much everything. I enjoyed it a lot. It was for a plane ride.
Yeah, it's very good, very enjoyable. Yeah, like a plane movie.
Yeah.
Like one-time watch. Even we're talking about Catherine Newton, and she's really good in this, I think it's just automatically more funnier rather than a girl playing a serial killer to watch a grown man playing a high school girl.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn is very funny in this.
He is. No, he does a really good job being a believable teenage girl in a 40 to 50 year old man serial killer's body.
I think they realize that the way he runs is pure comedic gold, because he's constantly running as her in this movie.
Yeah.
And he has his hands up, and it's hilarious. He's always running, and it's genius that they made him do that. They also I don't want to spoil it because if anybody wants to watch it, but there's this one scene where I didn't think they were going to go there, but they pushed the fact that he's a girl pretty far when he's alone in a car with a guy. Oh. I was like there is no way that they're going to do this right now, and they didn't. And I was like, okay. I was like, bravo.
They pushed the boundaries.
My wife was like, imagine being a young actor, and that's something you get to do early in your career to Vince Vaughn. And I was like, that would be something. So that really impressed me that they did that, to be honest.
Yeah. I really liked her two friends, too. I thought her two friends were very funny for being just, like, side characters.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I believe this is your demographic. There is a gay man in this.
Yes.
And there's this negative outlook towards the play Wicked, or the musical Wicked, that he has. I remember Catherine Newton almost goes to see it with her mom at the very beginning, and he's like, oh, just people on wires. And I think it was him or the friend dressed in green paint. And then also he's watching it on TV, and he looks it kind of disgusted. I feel like, wouldn't he might like it? Like, isn't that a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I really like Wicked.
I like Wicked. I was like,
maybe he's just too young.
That goes against stereotypes, I guess. But I was very surprised. I was like, huh, I thought maybe he would like Wicked.
Yeah, maybe he's just too young. But
it is like Broadway. I guess it's like a local theater that's putting out Wicked.
Okay, so maybe that's a little different. Maybe that's why he doesn't like Wicked.
Maybe I missed something. Maybe that's what he said. But I was like, even like a local play, I'd be like, I would
go see a local play doing Wicked.
Yeah. I wonder if the singing would be good, though.
Probably not.
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah, hopefully we'll get a theatrical version later this year with good old Ariana and SpongeBob.
So. We'll see how that one is. I'm kind of nervous for it. Because Ricky, how do you have a 2.5 hour movie and it's in two parts when the musical is 2.5 hours?
And you've seen Wicked.
Yeah, I've seen Wicked so many times.
Where do you watch that? I guess there's a local, because you live in Charlotte, right?
I live in Durham.
Okay, I got you.
Whenever the Broadway tour goes around.
Gotcha. I guess I've never been to, like, a Broadway tour thing. I guess I went to Frozen. That's the one I went to with my niece. So they did that in Detroit, and she vomited halfway through, and we left. So we got to see, but it was like let it go, and then it ended, and then she vomited, and that was intermission, and we left.
Did she vomit because she was excited, or did she vomit because she was sick?
Maybe both. She had too much sugar, is what we concluded. So it was funny because
let it go, and then she did.
No. Yeah, basically. So I made it sound more theatrical than it was. Speaking of, you know, being a musical, but basically she sang "Let It Go." It was intermission, and Leah went to take our niece to the bathroom, and when she came back from the bathroom, as she walked into like the amphitheater, then it was like, bleh. And the woman in front of me was like, hey, isn't there a little girl that's with you? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, she just vomited down there. And it was funny because I didn't even see the two of them. I just looked down and I saw this giant puddle, and I was like, oh god. So I'm sure the second half of the Frozen Broadway musical is good. The first half
Frozen
or
was
the first half was good.
fine.
So, but yeah, Freaky, very solid movie. Kind of, I think there could be sequels, but I don't think there ever will be one.
No, I don't think it was popular enough. And like, I think it's fine as a
Okay.
one and done. It
Yes.
was good for what it was. I don't think we need to capitalize
If
on
yeah.
anything. If anything, just let Catherine Newton and Vince Vaughn have more roles where they get to do funny, scary stuff.
Yeah, if they're, because I know the guy, the same director did the Happy Death Day movies as well, which I've not watched, but I know there's a sequel. So that's like in my mind, in the back of my mind, like, oh, maybe
Oh,
he'll do a
yeah,
sequel for
that
Freaky.
one, Happy Death Day, like, it didn't need a sequel, but like, it made way more sense to do a sequel of Happy Death Day than it did to make a sequel of Freaky.
And
Like,
it's very interesting because it's kind of the same gimmick. Like he's using, it makes sense that he did Freaky if he did Happy Death Day. Because it's like, oh, Groundhog Day with a killer. And this is like, oh, Freaky Friday with a killer. And then like this can kind of like go on and on forever. Like he can just find certain types of films and just tweak them as his way to make a horror book out of it. That's why we're getting Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. You could just put horror on
I
anything.
need to watch those.
No, I'll wait until the Pooniverse comes out or whatever
Oh
movie.
well. Yeah, with Happy Death Day 2, it takes like a big sci-fi twist, like almost like Back to the Future-esque.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a big shift from the first one. I like
Interesting.
them. They're good
Yeah, I need to watch
movies.
them.
They're funny.
Maybe I'll watch them this October for like Halloween or something like
Do
that.
it.
But I don't know if I'll rewatch Freaky, but we both said one really solid. Catherine Newton does work great. Vince Vaughn, even better, maybe just because
Yeah,
of
I
the
felt
script
like
he's
Vince
given him.
Vaughn was
He's the draw.
I feel like people probably watch the movie like, oh, Catherine Newton, like she, like, cause she was kind of like on the up even then. Like she's just like
Yeah.
always been on the up. So people were like, oh, Catherine Newton. Oh, and like, cool, Vince Vaughn. I haven't seen him in a while. But then people stayed for Vince Vaughn.
Yeah,
Not that
exactly.
Catherine Newton did a bad job. It's just like Vince Vaughn was so funny.
I think this would be a great movie to like turn on at home when you're like winding down, or a great airplane movie. Just have fun and get some drinks, kind of thing, and just not have to necessarily study it, but just okay, like enjoy it while it's happening.
It's a stupid, mindless watch that gives you a good time. You don't need to think about it at all. You just
Yeah,
get
I would say
to turn your brain off.
Abigail a little bit better.
I think Abigail's better.
Yeah.
Because even though Abigail's not like Freaky is like very clearly a like slasher comedy. And Abigail's trying to be a little bit more of a serious movie. Not too serious, but like a little bit more of a serious movie. But I still thought Abigail was funnier.
Yeah. But I think it's also because they got, in my opinion, better directors on board, probably. Like I said, I haven't watched Happy Death Day, but I know that the I
Ready
think
or
their names.
if you're gonna compare Freaky and Abigail, and then I
Then
guess you could
yeah,
compare
Ready or
Happy
Not
Death
to
Day and
Happy
Ready
Death
or
Day.
Not,
Yeah.
Ready or Not is the better movie for
Yeah.
sure.
Exactly. So Abigail is in theaters right now. Not making a whole lot of money, but go ahead and try to
Go
check it
give
out
it
if you
some
can.
money. Give it the
Go give
money
it
you
some
guys don't
money.
have.
I'm about to go watch Spider-Man 2 and just try to convince anybody to go to the theater. AMC has some new Sprite slushies with
Oh,
cherry lime, which
interesting.
is very delicious. And I had it for the first time last night, and I'm about to go get another one.
Maybe I'll go get one on Thursday.
But then also, Freaky is on Peacock, is where you can stream that. That's where I watched it. Even though it said there was going to be zero ad breaks at the beginning, I said, that's really cool. There was ad breaks throughout the entire thing.
Oh,
So
lovely.
that was. But yeah, that's where you can stream and watch the Fresh and Forgotten this week. Next week, we're going to talk about Luca Guadagnino's new film, Challengers, which I have watched. Oh boy, have I
I'm
watched it.
seeing it
My
on
goodness.
Thursday. I was supposed to see it yesterday.
I'm excited for you. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. The tennis is a super hot sport. That's what I'll say.
It
It's
is.
dripping in attractiveness in this film. Outside. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're also going to talk about a different film, one of Luca Guadagnino's earlier films, a bigger splash, which has Tilda Swinton, Dakota Johnson, Ralph Fiennes. So we both haven't watched that for great things, so we're gonna watch it beforehand, and I'm excited.
Probably watch it this weekend.
Yeah. So hope you guys check out Abigail and Freaky. Really enjoyed talking about it. Really enjoyed watching both of them. But thanks for joining us again. I'm Stone.
I'm Zach.
Thanks for listening to the Expired Popcorn Podcast, and we'll see you next week.